Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Terry Wiese delivers this week's message.
And so if you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We'll begin looking in verses 16 through 20. Matthew chapter 28. Now, this passage may be familiar to many of you. It's called the Great Commission. We're going to look at the commission that God gave the early church and the commission that Christ gave to Crossbridge. And if you look at the scripture over and over, the table is a place where information is exchanged. Think about the life of Jesus. He invited Zacchaeus home for dinner. And it was there that we saw the gospel transformation take place in the life of a tax collector. Consider Jesus and the Last Supper. While dining with his disciples, Jesus talked with them of the betrayal that would take place and of his impending death. You see, historically, people have had conversations and exchanged information around the table. And today we invite you to the table. We want to open God's Word, and we want to gain a clearer picture of what God's mission is for Crossbridge, why we exist, how we are related to one another as a church family, and why. And then we want to look at the very first church. What are we devoted to? What was the first church devoted to, and what was their purpose, and does God expect us to be like the first church? The Bible calls the church a family. It's a gathering of local Christ followers who come to hear from the Father through His Word, the Bible. Well, Crossbridge, we are a family of Christ followers who gather weekly to hear from our Father through His Word, the Bible. And I'm looking forward to our time together as we talk as a family around God's table and get a clearer picture of what God's mission is for us. And so I invite you, in honoring the Word of God, to stand with me, if you would please, as I read God's holy Word, Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16 and reading through verse 20. 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray. Well, Father, as we open your Word today and as we gather as a church family around the table where we feast upon your Word, may we learn today and may we be transformed by the principles and precepts of your Word. May the lost receive the faith to call out upon you by the Spirit to be saved and have eternal life and to be able to live with you forever. May you heal the brokenhearted. May you bind up broken relationships. And may all things bring honor and glory to you. And we'll ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God has given our church and every biblical church a commission. That word commission, it means an instruction, a command, or a duty to give a person or a group of people. And just as the early church here in the book of Matthew was commissioned and instructed and commanded to do an important assignment that was to be carried out, so we too, as a church here in 2020, are given a commission, an assignment that we are commanded to obey and to carry out for God. So let's look together at this passage, and let's begin in verse 16, if you would, with me. I would appreciate that. So we're talking today about Crossbridge's mission, and we're going to be looking at the disciples' obedience and their doubt. Verse 16 says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." After Jesus' resurrection, he visited with the 11 disciples. Now, you remember, there were 12 disciples, but Judas betrayed Jesus. And then because of his betrayal, he felt his guilt, he went out and hung himself. And so these 11 disciples are being instructed for 40 days before Jesus ascends into heaven. And we're not exactly sure the timing of this commission event occurred during those 40 days, but it's not important enough to be recorded in God's Word. And shortly after the resurrection of Christ, at an appointed time, and our Lord told his disciples to meet him at a mountain in Galilee, and that the disciples obeyed their Lord, and they met him on the mountain in Galilee. These remaining disciples found him there. Seeing Christ, many of them worshiped him while others doubted. I love that the scripture tells us that when they saw him, they worshiped him. Shouldn't that be what we always do? That we just worship him? The first thing they did upon coming and seeing the risen Lord was worship him. They didn't pull out their list of complaints or a list of things they wanted God to do for them. They simply worshiped him. Oh, that we would just follow that example. That we would spend time each and every day worshiping our risen Savior, getting a deeper knowledge of him. And although they worshiped him, there were some who doubted that it was really him. And the word doubt here is not to be confused with rejection, like they were rejecting Christ and the gospel. The Greek word here, doubt, means to reflect hesitation. It's not a refusal of the truth. These doubting disciples did not doubt whether or not Jesus was the Messiah. That's not the case. They were just unsure how to respond to him. Remember, they just seen him crucified and buried. It may be that some of them had not yet come to grip with the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead and that he was the incarnate Son of God. Church, let's take a minute and let's think about this. What category would you place yourself in today? Are you an obedient follower of Christ, or are you a doubter? I don't know. I don't think God can do this. I need a job. He's not going to be able to do this for me. Oh, the struggles I have in our family, I don't know that God will answer my prayers. Are you an obedient follower of Christ, or are you a doubter? This is family talk. It's around the table that we're going to be talking with. Do you believe that he is who he says he is? That his word is to be obeyed and followed? Then that Christ is worthy of our worship? Or do you doubt? I have to be honest. There are times I doubt. Struggles, trials, testings. Just seeing the hardships that some families go through and wondering, why God? There's sometimes I doubt. But the scripture reminds me and encourages me that we are to, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you doubt his promise? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you doubt his faithfulness? Do you doubt that he truly is our risen Savior? We're all family here today in Christ, and we're having a conversation about God and his word. And I hope that you will examine yourselves and answer honestly. Am I a doubter, or am I an obedient Christ follower? I want us to look at verse 18 and see why Jesus had called them all together. It's a declaration he's about to make here. And so if you look at verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And Jesus is about to give these disciples a God assignment, a commission. He's about to give them a task, and he is making clear that he has all authority to give this assignment. Remember, we just read that there were some who doubted. And Jesus knew this, so he's making it crystal clear that he has been given all authority. Jesus cannot and does not lie, and it produces worship. It produces obedience to ministry and to service. God's word drives away doubt, and it moves us to action. When you get discouraged, don't run from God. Don't run from his word. Run to it. Maybe you're here today and you placed yourself in the doubting category. You find yourself looking for miracles and signs and wonders before you can believe. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 that our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You see, we really don't need miracles, signs, or wonders. We have the spoken, written, holy, living word of God right here in our hands today. And as we look back at verse 18, I want you to stop and I want you to think of the radical nature of this claim. It's an outstanding claim. I mean, think about it. He says that all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. That's what Jesus said. And he realized how radical that is in what Jesus is saying. Jesus is making an absolute claim about his kingship and his lordship over the universe. The implications of this are staggering. Think about that for a moment. The Lord Jesus is saying to his disciples, "All authority belongs to me." And he has been given all authority by God the Father over the whole kingdom of God in its fullest extent. And this power and authority extends over all things. There are no limitations. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11 as I read it. Speaking of Christ, "But Christ emptied himself by taking on a form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." It is Jesus here who is talking to the disciples and making it very clear that he does indeed have all authority in heaven and earth. And he wants to make this perfectly clear as he gets ready to commission them to go into all the world. So now we want to look at the commission that he gave them in verse 19. If you'll look there with me. In verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the ages." So let's remind ourselves that this command of Jesus is given to the disciples and to the early church in Jerusalem. It's a plan to be carried out until the end of time, or until Jesus comes back for his children. And this command was first given in the scriptures, but it's to be carried out by all biblical churches. And that includes our church, Crossbridge Church. This is a go and do command. And this commission, Jesus is sending his disciples out and telling them what they are supposed to do and that they're supposed to go out. Let's break it down. Let's look at the text and let's break down what's happening here. So let's break it down. Look at this. First of all, it says in verse 18, Jesus said, go therefore. Now you've heard us say many times, whenever you see the word therefore, we must ask ourselves, what is the word therefore there for? Why is it there? So we answer that by looking at verse 18. You see, Jesus had just declared his complete and full and absolute authority to his disciples. Jesus established his authority to prepare them for the command that he's about to give them. I have all authority. He's going to send them out on a God-sized assignment that requires them to have faith in him. Once that was established, he was ready to commission them. And Jesus said to them, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, this is what I'm commanding you. And what was that command? To go and make disciples. He doesn't say go and increase the attendance of your church. He doesn't say go out and get as many people to agree to the gospel as you can. He doesn't say go out and get people to pray a prayer and sign a card. No, he says, make disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is a dedicated, obedient follower of Jesus and his teachings. Jesus is telling his church to go out and make disciples. He doesn't say add more programs and activities. He doesn't say add more slick videos and PowerPoints to your services. He doesn't say to be more involved in charitable work. And I'm not suggesting those things are wrong. But that wasn't the aim of the commission that Jesus gave them. He said, go and make disciples. Jesus is saying, I want people who will be followers of me. That's a big goal. And he said, big attendance numbers are not the goal, though we would like to add. Big offerings are not the goal, but discipleship is. And I want you to make disciples, is what Jesus said. Lead others to be followers of Jesus Christ. Those who are consumed with the zeal of the glory of God. Oswald Chambers once said, our Lord Jesus had only one desire, and that desire was to do the will of his heavenly Father. And to have desire is a characteristic of a disciple. And so Jesus is saying, I want people who are consumed with the desire to do the will of my Father, just like I am consumed with the desire to do the will of my heavenly Father. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. God's commissioning was to the early church to go out and to go out from Jerusalem and make disciples of all nations. We're not talking about just different cities and states and countries. Jesus is saying to them and to us, he wants us to make disciples of every people group. Every people group. Every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. And that's a huge task. But how are we supposed to go about doing what Jesus said? Well, Jesus doesn't just give us a general command. He gives us a very specific plan. And these plans are found in verse 19 and 20. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But Jesus is calling us to act and to share the good news of salvation, the good news of the gospel. And he's telling us to go throughout the world. And how can we share the gospel all around the world? Well, the simple answer by ourselves, we can't. We have missionaries that surrender their lives to obey Christ's command, and they go and they tell other people groups about him. And here at home, we are commanded to make disciples where we live and where we work. But we're also commanded to send the gospel to all the other nations and people groups around the world. And here at Crossbridge, we have a missions program. I was one of your missionaries many years ago in the Philippines. And many of you gave financially to missions each week and still do. Your giving allows to support families who travel all around the world just to make disciples and establish Bible-believing churches that biblically follow the Scripture in places that we ourselves cannot go. That's why we have a missions program, because we have been commissioned. Crossbridge has been commissioned. Each and every one of us has been commissioned to get the gospel to every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Working with our missionaries, supporting them and praying for them, going and visiting them. You said, well, why would we go and visit them? Why won't we just take that money and help them? Can I just tell you that when you go to another country that's not your homeland, no matter how well you learn the language, no matter how well you know the culture, you will always be a foreigner. Always. And there are times when you don't understand why things happen. If I were to ask some of you here this morning that you've come from another country and you're living here now and you're a part of this country, but there were times when you first arrived, and even there are times today that you get lonely and you just wish to have some fellowship from some of the people that's from home. Just recently, Pastor Matt visited Indonesia, to where the Kunis were. They were going through a hard time. They live in a place that's so remote that it takes them, about 12 hours to get out of that little island to just a place to get medical treatment. And they treat people there, but for them. And they were really discouraged. It's 95% of their time was spent on just living, cooking food from scratch, starting a fire, getting the water boiling just everything was like that. And they were getting discouraged. And Matt and Sharina went over and encouraged them and spent time and prayed with them, studied the scripture with them. You see, the importance of working with our missionaries and supporting them and praying for them and visiting them, we can be a part of the universal discipleship around the world. There are people now in this tribe that no one else has gone to with the gospel that are now being saved and discipled because the Kunis went. And we're one of the churches helping them, keeping them on the field and discipling them. You see, Jesus wants them to be saved. But here in this Great Commission, He wants us to make disciples of those who are saved. The goal of missions is not simply to get people to profess a faith in Christ. It's to make people who are disciples of Christ. That has been a problem in evangelism and missions. We stop short of the goal that Christ has given us in the Great Commission. We're satisfied when someone makes a profession in faith. When someone accepts Christ, we get all excited. We rejoice. But too often, that's enough for us. It's like delivering a baby, but leaving it on the doorstep and never taking care of it. Christ told us to make disciples. Disciples of Christ. And once a person is saved, then what? Are we teaching them? Are we instructing them in the truths of God's Word? Are we growing them in their knowledge of God and His Word? This is what it means to be to disciple someone. That's what it means. And verse 19 tells us that, go and make disciples of all nations. So how do we do that? Well, verse 19 tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. And what's the next word? Baptizing them. Once a person makes a profession of faith, their first act of obedience is to be baptized by immersion. salvation first, then baptism. This is God's way. This is biblical. You see, baptism is a public acknowledgement that you identify with the Lord Jesus Christ and His teachings. Baptism is a profession of the Lordship of Christ. And so Jesus is saying, you can't be a true disciple until you publicly acknowledge me as Lord. A believer is to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when we are baptized, it's as if God is putting His mark of ownership on us. And when we are baptized, we belong to Him. Now baptism doesn't save us. Don't misconstrue it. It's an identification. We're adopted by Him at the time of salvation. And baptism is this identifying outward mark that we belong to Him and that He is our Lord. And if you're a Christian here today and you've never been baptized, can I just say to you with a loving and gentle spirit that you're not being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, maybe you have a physical disability that prohibits you from being baptized, yet you have a desire to be baptized. Please come to talk to us pastors, and we'll do our best to accommodate your needs. But if that's not the case, what is keeping you from being obedient to your Savior? Delayed obedience, in fact, is disobedience. One of the marks of a disciple of Christ is being obedient in the waters of baptism. Jesus continues speaking to His disciples here, and He said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then what? What's the next step? What's the next step for us in making disciples? Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Teach them. Teach them God's Word. Teach them the principles and the precepts of the Holy Scripture. Teach them how to be a Christ follower. In fact, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. The earthly ministry of Jesus was about 3.5 years. And in that time, the disciples sat under the teachings of Jesus. They observed Him, they listened to Him, they followed Him, they obeyed Him, and they acted. Jesus said to them, as you have learned of me, all that you have observed, go and do likewise. Teach them what you've learned. Jesus is not satisfied that all His disciples who are part of the local church would just simply study and learn the Word of God. He's not satisfied until we begin to live out that Christian life, live out the truths and the principles and precepts that we've learned in the Scripture. You see, knowledge is good, but knowledge gives understanding and insight. But Christ wants us to live out what we've learned. He wants us to share this good news and not keep it to ourselves. He wants us to be transformed in our living by the truth that we have learned. You see, there's a principle here. The principle is to give the maximum amount of truth, all of it, to the maximum amount of people. That comes right out of the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus is committing us here to discipleship in a radical way. The problem is, if there are people that know how to lead people to Christ, and they share the gospel with them, and they love them, and they'll pray with them, and they'll talk with them, but that's as far as it gets. They never get out of diapers, and they never get out of the crib, because no one's teaching them to observe all things that I command you. You see, that's not the pastor's job. That's everybody's job. To make disciples. Discipleship is more than just getting to know what the teacher knows. It is getting to know who the teacher is. And therefore, the making of disciples means creating a duplicate. Not just someone who intellectually agrees with the principles of religion, but someone who is transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. And so any form of evangelism that minimizes the goal of discipleship is an unbiblical evangelism. This is the early church. These disciples have been given a monumental task. But Jesus, who is good in every perfect way, doesn't leave these disciples with this huge assignment and then just walk away from them. He encourages them and he comforts them with these final words. As he sat around the table, listen to what he says. And behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age. He says to them, I'm with you the whole day, every day, all the days until my coming again. The Lord Jesus Christ, promises of his presence is designed to comfort his disciples. It gives us his promise to be with us always, that even in the midst of our trials and as we gather around as a family here, and the reason why it's important to be a member of the church and be a part of the family is because as we sit around the table, we share our struggles and our problems and we discuss them out in light of the scripture and the truths that God has given us, so that knowing that his presence is there with us. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. It's just sometimes we forget. And here's the thing. And lo, I am with you always. And always means always, perpetual. Regardless of the circumstances we are in, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He promises to be with us in every occasion, the good and the bad, the hard and the easy. And when we serve Christ, he assures us of his presence. The same Christ who made the blind see, the same Christ who lived and died and was buried, the same Christ who arose from the dead, the same Christ, he will be with us. He's the same Christ who raised the dead to life. He's the same Christ who caused the blind to see. Not only is he with us, but he will be with us till the end of the age, to the end of the earth, until he returns for his children. And I can't imagine more comforting words than that. Especially in the light of the commission that he's given us to not only the early church, but to us today. Comforting for us, comforting also for the Coonies, that he would never leave them nor forsake them in one of the most remote places in the world. And I wonder if the reason that we don't often sense that that his presence is with us is because our heart is not often where he is. He says, go, but our heart says, no. He says, make disciples, but our hearts say, no, I don't want to. I'm saved, and that's all that really matters. He says, teach them, but our hearts say, I'm too busy. I really don't have the time. I don't have time at all for that. Hey, listen, Crossbridge family. Let's talk about this. Let's have a conversation around the table. That's what healthy families do. Are you obedient to God's word and his command? Or do you doubt that he says who he says he is? Or do you doubt that he will do what he says he will do? Or do you doubt that he is who he says he is? One who is a follower and a doer of the word is a true disciple of Jesus Christ. My question to you is, are you a disciple? James says we are not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Are you obedient? Think about it around you. Just sit down and just be honest with ourselves. We're at the table, we're family, we're talking through the issues, but are we really doing what we're supposed to be doing? The problem that we face in many churches today is that church has become a spectator sport. It's where you sit out in the chairs and you watch what goes on and you go home literally unaffected, unchanged. You see, the Great Commission is a command for every Christ follower. It's a command for us as a church body. We are to be church witnesses, Christ witnesses. We are to be fulfilling the Great Commission in our cities, in our states, and into the countries of the world and all around the world. You see, the Great Commission compels us to share the good news, the gospel, until everyone has heard. We do what we're supposed to do. Where God has planted us, and we work together with our missionaries who do the work in other lands. Do we have a heart to disciple the nations? Today is the first Sunday of the new year. And the mission of our church is to know Christ and to make Him known. Make Him known to others. We can accomplish that when we're obedient to the commission of Christ that has given us in Matthew 28. And the first question that needs to be asked, because not everyone here may be a believer, and the likelihood is probably only 60-70% of you are really believers in Christ. Doesn't mean you're not religious. It just means you don't have a true relationship with Him. But do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you have that personal relationship with Him? Has He called you to put your faith in Him, to trust Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered your life to Him? If not, we can tell you how to do that today. Maybe for you believers here today, you've done an assessment, an honest assessment of your life, and you realize that you're still a newborn babe in Christ, although you've been 40 years in Christ, 20 years, 30 years. You've never gotten out of the crib, never gotten in any more than baby food. You've never enjoyed the meat of the Word. You never really told anyone. Maybe you gave them a tract, and that's a good thing. But you never really shared your faith with anyone. You never grown in your faith to know more about God, to know the workings of His wisdom and His power and His authority, to understand salvation and to understand how that our sanctification works as He works in our life to make us more like Christ. But you never got there. Maybe it's because you never started by following Him with biblical baptism. If not, then you're not yet a true disciple of Jesus. Are you reading God's Word each and every day? Are you spending time in prayer? I mean, real prayer. Not bless us food and take care of us. And I mean prayer where you pour out your heart to God, where you ask God to walk with you through the struggles you are. I mean, it's a time where you spend. I mean, as a family, we need to sit down and reevaluate the times we spend and what we spend our time doing. We need to reevaluate our priorities in life and wonder, why haven't I grown spiritually? Because every year we should grow, just like a newborn baby grows to a little child that crawls, and from crawling begins to walk a little bit, and from walking begins to run. It's a child who develops into an adult, and that's the way we're to be as a believer in Christ. We become a new believer in Christ. We're a babe in Christ, but we're not to stay there. How important is Christ to you? If you're growing in Christ, if not, start. Start today. But as you begin to think and assess things, you recognize that, you know what? Some of my family's not saved. My best friend's not saved. My neighbor, man, they're great people. Kind, friendly. But they don't know Jesus.
Why don't you just make a list of people that aren't Christ followers, aren't saved, and pray for them daily. Share Christ. Invite them out for coffee. Invite them into your home. Have the pit fire going and bring them around. Just talk and enjoy. Share Christ with them. Maybe you know someone that recently became a believer. As a believer that should be growing, you should say, you know what? I want you to grow in Christ, and I want us to grow together. And you come around, put your arm around them, say, hey, let's meet together. Let's study the Bible together. I mean, we'll go to sports events. We'll go out to eat with each other. We'll talk around the table. But we don't ever talk about Christ. We don't ever talk about His grace, His mercy. We don't ever talk about this wonderful thing called love that He has for this world. We don't even discuss that. I mean, man, we can talk about all the football games and sports and all the other things that go on, all the gossip and politics, but we just really don't talk about Christ. I know there's a lot to think here as a family. But as a family, if we're going to effectively be doing what Christ has commanded us, if we're going to be commanded, we need to be sitting around the table. And we need to be discussing things that are of importance. We need to talk to our family. We need to pray together and read together. We need to reach out to our neighbors. Now, not all will respond positively. The majority won't. But you don't stop because they don't. We need to have conversations around the table. We need to honestly evaluate what's going on in our life. Not get caught up in all the things the world is doing. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying them. I enjoy activities that the world has. But they creep into our life and they eventually take over our life. Crossbridge, we have a mission. The question is, are we going to do it? Are we going to step up and be obedient and be a true disciple of Jesus Christ? I'd like to ask you to stand with me, if you would, please, and bow your heads as the praise team comes. This is called an invitation. It's where we invite you to come and down here to the front, and you can just kneel and pray and ask God for forgiveness, ask God for grace, ask God for blessings. It's a place where we can fellowship with Him in prayer. Ask Him to give us strength to be the disciple that He wants us to be. That we desire to get out of the crib and get out of diapers and eating baby food. We want some good stuff. We want the meat of the Word. That's your desire this morning. Would you come as the praise team? Is it just a time of prayer? Would you as they sing?
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.